Hi, Dr. Rubin.
Karen Tibbetts.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Leela Turner.
Hi, Dr. Turner. Dr. Sadler, did you want me to take roll?
Yeah, why don't we take, I can go ahead and start, I can start and then we can do roll. You want to
okay.
do it that way?
Sure.
So according to my watch, it's 11:04. Good morning, it's 11:04 a.m. here at the Naturopathic Medical Board meeting. Our executive director, Dr. Anthony, and also our Assistant Attorney General, Sarah Austin, is with us, and we'll do roll call.
Okay. Dr. Sadluck?
Here.
Dr. Popio?
Here.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Here.
Ms. Gallen?
Here.
Dr. Campbell? Dr. Spatt?
Yep.
Dr. Rubin?
Present.
Dr. Campbell? Dr. Campbell? Okay. Looks like we're missing Dr. Campbell. We have quorum. And
we have quorum. Move it.
Yes. Board members, I'd like to introduce a representative of the Auditor General's office. Mr. Richard Flannery, are you with us?
Good morning. Yes, I am.
Okay. Thank you. Welcome.
Richard, good morning. Members,
good morning.
Let's go ahead then. We've got roll call. And I think we're still missing Campbell, right? Campbell.
This is Clint Campbell. I'm on the line. Thank
oh.
you.
Oh, you're on the line. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go on to number two, declarations of conflicts of interest. We didn't receive any within a 24-hour period, so I take it there's no conflicts of interest with our agenda. In that case, I'll move on to number three, the civility statement. In accordance with the open meeting law, the board has a civility policy that prohibits any type of disorderly conduct that disrupts the board from carrying out its business. Those violating this policy will be asked to modify their behavior. If they do not, we'll disconnect them from the phone call. I'll look at number four. Four, the easiest way to do it, board members concur, would be to take 4A and run that all the way through 4Q. If that's what the board would like, then we'll need a motion in a second.
This is Dr. Popio, I'll second that.
Do you want roll call for that, Gail?
Excuse me, Dr. Satterley, the members of the board. Could someone please make the motion before it's seconded?
I make the motion that we have for consent agenda review, consideration, possible action regarding approval of the following applications. So that would be 4A all the way to 4Q.
And Dr. Popio, you seconded that?
Yes, please.
Okay. And roll call, please. Dr. Sadluck?
Aye.
Dr. Popio?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
I abstain.
Motion carries.
Dr. Rubin, could you please state for the record, this is Sarah Aspen. could you state for the record why you are abstaining?
Yes, one of the doctors. This is Dr. Rubin. The reason for my abstention is that one of the doctors that works in the office and the employer is within that.
Hi, good afternoon. Holly Beeple and Dr. Bailey were just joined.
Thank you, Holly. Could you please mute your phone until we call your agenda item? Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Dr. Rubin, you said you had one of the, in that item, you had one of the people that worked for you. Was your employee?
Yes, it was in 4-H.
Okay.
And who was that, please? Dr. Rubin? Dr. Rubin, who was?
Gail, this is Dr. Rubin.
Yes.
We can't understand you, but I'm guessing you're wanting me to state who the doctor is.
Yes, please.
That would be Dr. Mia Darling.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Rubin.
You're welcome.
We'll move on to number 5. If the board members can bear with me, I need to read a statement. So number 5 is review, consideration, and possible action regarding motion for rehearing or review of the February 11th, 2021 decision, plus a motion to modify the board's decision for issuing letter of reprimand to Dr. Fernandez. This was case number 20-159. This is the time, as of the day, time, and place for the board to consider Dr. Fernandez's motion for rehearing or review of the February 11th, 2020 decision, plus the motion to modify the board's decision for issuing a letter of reprimand to respondent. Following the formal interview that was held in this matter on February 11, 2021, with Dr. Fernandez and her attorney, Scott King. And Mr. King and Dr. Fernandez, you on the phone?
Scott King, I'm here. Dr. Fernandez is not.
Okay, thank you, Mr. King. He's identified himself. The board's legal advisor in this matter is our Assistant Attorney General, Ms. Sarah Asta. Under AACR 4-18-106, C as in cat, the board may grant a rehearing of the case in part or in whole to review the decision if Dr. Fernandez establishes that one or more of the grounds listed in the rule materially affected her rights during the administrative proceeding. If the board grants her request for a rehearing, it will conduct the rehearing at a later date. The board on its own initiative may grant review of its decision. If it does, it may conduct the review at the meeting or schedule further proceedings. If the board denies her request for a rehearing, she will receive a written order stating forth her legal remedies. The board has reviewed Dr. Fernandez's motion. Dr. Fernandez and her attorney, Mr. Scott, will have 5 minutes to address the board on this matter. This is time for legal argument related to the grounds for rehearing or review, and neither Dr. Fernandez nor her attorney should use this time to present new evidence or testimony to the board regarding the merits of the case. If they claim there is newly discovered material evidence, they will be asked to identify each piece of evidence and why it could not have been presented at the formal interview. Once Dr. Fernandez or her attorney has finished making their arguments, the board members have the opportunity to ask Dr. Fernandez or Mr. Scott questions. And I'm going to let you, Mr. Scott, go ahead and do your oral argument on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, thank you for the opportunity to address you today. We seek a rehearing and a modification of the board's order regarding the letter reprimand and request that the board issue a letter of concern for inadequate charting only because the preponderance of the evidence supports that neither respondent nor anyone at Marina knew that LS was COVID positive, period. The board must prove by a preponderance of the evidence what a physician allegedly did or did not do before imposing discipline. The burden of proof is burden of persuasion. On any claim, the party who has the burden of proof must persuade by the evidence that the claim is more probably true than not true. This means that the evidence that favors that party outweighs the opposing evidence. In determining whether a party has met this burden, the board has to consider all the evidence that bears on the claim, regardless of which party produced it. Patient LS stated that she informed Mr. Fernandez during a July 1, 2020 telephone conversation of her COVID positive status. In contrast, Mr. Fernandez stated he only discussed a supplement that LS had purchased that day. Based on these two conflicting statements, we cannot say without speculation what probably occurred during the July 1 telephone call. However, when the board considers the other undisputed facts in the case, the burden of proof shifts in the respondent's favor. And these undisputed facts are, at the November 12, 2020 board meeting, patient LS admitted under Dr. Campbell's questioning that she never told respondent of her positive COVID-19 test result. In the 12 days preceding her initial office visit with respondent, LS had visited the emergency department twice and the second time by ambulance. In her complaint, LS wrote that she was in tears when she heard respondent say she was in the right place and she would get back to help. LS also wrote, I wanted nothing more than to get better. For 12 days, I've been feeling like I was slowly dying. I was deteriorating every day, crying and praying. I just wanted to get better. In referring to the cost of the treatment, LS stated, I knew it was too much for me and I struggled with the decision, but I didn't want to reject the treatment and potentially get worse and die. On June 29, 2020, LS refused respondent's offer to perform a rapid COVID-19 test, but agreed to the other tests. And respondent stated that she would not have treated LS had she known she was COVID positive. When the board considered these undisputed facts in light of the July 1, 2020 phone call, the burden of proof about what probably happened shifts in the respondent's favor. And given these undisputed facts, respondent respectfully submits that while a question exists about what LS and Mr. Fernandez discussed on July 1, 2020, the totality of the evidence regarding LS's actions and inaction about the failure to disclose her COVID-19 positive status to respondent supports that neither the respondent nor anyone at Moringa knew about LS's COVID positive status. There is no inter-office communication issue if we cannot determine what probably occurred during the phone call. As the board knows, we have not challenged the board's non-disciplinary order to undergo 8 hours of CME charting, and the respondent's already working on this. In a recent prior case involving another physician, the board issued a letter of concern to a doctor, even though the board described her medical records as horrendous, incomplete, and unsuitable for continuity of care. The board has never described Dr. Fernandez's records as such. And based on the evidence presented, we respectfully ask the board to modify its order, prior order to issue a letter of reprimand and issue a non-disciplinary letter of concern instead for charting. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's 11:22, so hang with me, Mr. King. I'm gonna make a motion to go to the executive session for legal counsel. And I'll need another report.
Is Dr. Rubin a second?
Rubin. Ms. King, hang tight, we'll be back.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.